from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't stop laughing, man. I'm sorry.
What?
So Rob was talking about that he wanted to reach out to the guy's son, right?
Yeah,
on Twitter.
I just tweeted him.
And he said, yeah, I'm going to send him a message. I said, what's your message? You're going to say, do you play? There he is. That's Pops. Back outside again.
Joining us right now from the School of Rock, MassiveSports.com. He is Rockabaco. What's up, Rock?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Are you going out to L.A.?
I am not. I'm going to Colorado.
Ooh. I wonder why you go pick Colorado instead of L.A.
The weed's better.
I'm doing the second leg of the trip.
Nice.
I would have picked L.A. over Colorado.
I love Colorado, man. Great.
I think you made a bad decision, Rock.
I think it's an easier working environment in Colorado than it is at old Dodger Stadium. It's not as media friendly. And it's all about me having my comfort. My sister calls me the little prince because I get spoiled so much.
Did you know, in the Dodgers press box, you're not allowed to do curls during the game. In Colorado, you can. So it's better suited.
They insist on leg day in L.A. I don't do that.
Jeremy said, well, are you 11?
Yeah, I said, do you have a number 11? Are you doing legs at all? Because I can see you're working on those biceps. I can't see your lower half.
There's a reason for that.
So what, Rock and I were on TV last week in the booth in at the Mets Stadium, City Field.
Yep.
We were standing next to one another before we went on air. We went off air. My buddy said, you should have flexed with Rock. I said, ain't nobody flexing next to Rock. What's wrong with you, man? Ain't nobody doing that. I'd rather fool you. Hey, Rock, not a bad performance last night by Dean Kramer, but it's been the model of inconsistency with the starting pitching, with the exception of Big Al, Albert Suarez, man. I mean, can they get any consistency from the staff?
They're going to have to. And unfortunately, the news continues to be good with Zach Eflin. They really think he could be back when he's eligible, which is September 1st, and he won't need a rehab assignment, and that would be huge. You made 4 starts, and they were all quality starts. But otherwise, we've been wondering up to this point how they've done it. I mean, how do you remove Bradish and Means and Wells and Rodriguez twice has gone on the IL and continue to roll the way they have? One point they had one of the lowest, staff ERAs in baseball. And I'm thinking, well, how is that possible to take all these guys out? They have 5 on the IL now who would be really good starting pitchers in any rotation. These guys are all hurt and 3 of them aren't coming back. And of course, Trevor Rogers did not work out yet. It's too early to judge that trade, but he went down to Norfolk for his first start yesterday, gave up 10 runs in like 4 1/3. So I've been wondering how they've hung on up to this point. And Kramer's got to be second half Dean from last year. We asked him about it last night, and he said he'd be in a bad headspace or the wrong headspace if he was thinking about last year. But, he had the 5th lowest ERA in the American League last year in the second half. He's got 3 straight quality starts here, 5 runs total allowed, 18 innings. And that's the guy they're going to need. He's got to be one of the guys that kind of carries them, that rotation now moving forward. And ideally, he's your 4 or 5. But that's just the position they're in right now.
Rock, I'm going to ask you a question that you probably can't answer, but should we expect most of these guys back? I mean, is there anyone you're concerned with? Kalum, you're looking at Grayson, obviously Eflin, and Westberg was the one that I thought might be a little bit more on that timeline where do you have to make a decision that, you know, for the first playoff series, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think they expect all of them to be back, and certainly Eflin sooner, and Jacob Webb sooner, by the way. That was kind of an underrated loss as well, especially because he is against left-handers, almost like a reverse splits, and he should be back sooner. But they're also expected back. Westberg yesterday was fielding ground balls, but he was holding his right hand literally behind his back while he was doing it to make sure there weren't any mishaps. But these guys are all, you know, they're working out. So they should be back. It's just what position is this team going to be in? I mean, the good news is it's going to be quite a boost. I don't think any other team in baseball could anticipate getting that group back for the stretch run. But again, you know, will they be a first place team then? Will they be the first wild card then? I mean, they're really scuffling. Now you got to go out to LA and play the Dodgers. So you hope that they're still in a decent position because I don't think anybody's running away with it, but you would really hope that when those guys get back, it's going to really be meaningful and it's not going to be, where they've already slid so far back.
Rock Abago joining us, School of Rock, MassinSports.com. Rock, I don't think the Orioles hitters are going up there searching and hunting home runs. I don't think that's the case. However, have they become too reliant on the home run? Do they depend on the home run too much in this offense?
Yeah, it's strange because just the way the ebbs and flows of their seasons where, yeah, you look at that lineup, and again, Westberg was a huge loss, but you go top to bottom, it's like, where do you pitch this team? And then all of a sudden, we've got, was it four games now out of eight where it's been three hits or less, including a season low two last night. And I think some of it, I don't know if it's they're hunting home runs. I just think so many guys maybe are pressing somewhat where it's like, I've got to be the one to, try and break us out of this. And, some bad at-bats and some of it's bad luck, but it's like an old city getting this collective kind of slump, and they've got guys, multiple players that are scuffling. I know it was great, Jackson Holliday had that dramatic three-run double, but he was 0-for-20 at that point and took it 0-for again last night, and Cowser went through some stretches. It seems like Santander's the one guy who's pretty much stayed hot, but, Mountcastle had been scuffling, and then just when Mullins heats up, he gets hurt. And, they're playing with basically two men down last night. Mullins and Mountcastle weren't even available. And it's just, they've run into some good starters as well. And it's not going to get any easier. And they're all confident they're all going to break out in this thing. There's this guy on the team that thinks he's going to continue. But it's just been one of those weird stretches again where all of a sudden the offense just shuts down and you're putting so much pressure on the starters or the bullpen. Basically, you've got to be perfect because you're not going to get much support. Or, those dramatic walk-offs or whatever are late. Like the grand slam the other night, those are fun, but you can't rely on that every night. And that's what I wrote about last night. There's only so many dramatic comebacks in the tank. You're trying to do it like three straight nights. Eventually, they're going to run out.
Hey, Rock, you brought up like the Trevor Rogers trade. It's still too early to tell anything. And I agree with you, but I know that's hard for some fans to swallow. But they didn't give up anything of substance and kept all their major pieces in the farm system. We had a chance to see Coby Mayo get a cup of coffee. Basayo's now been called up to AAA. Enrique Bradfield Jr. is killing it at AA. Your thoughts on some of these young guys? And like Mayo, they didn't want to move him either, or Jackson Holliday. And I think people, it might take some time, will understand why they didn't want to do that.
Yeah, there was like a top four there that they weren't moving. And Michael Elias doesn't normally say, all right, here's our list of untouchables. I think he hinted at it last offseason when he said, well, there's at least one, and that obviously meant Holliday. But if you start talking to other people in baseball, and I'd done that at one point, there was a National League executive who said, yeah, and because they all talk to each other. And he's like, yeah, there's no, they're not moving Mayo. They're not moving Basayo. But they were willing to move someone like Connor Norby or Kyle Stowers, who seemed blocked. And those weren't under other years with the Orioles going way back. They would probably have been the one, two top prospects on the team, and they would be with some other organizations. They just weren't here. And Norby, I think, has had a really big, week or whatever since he came back up with Miami. And I think he's going to be a really good hitter. He just was not going to get regular playing time at second base. You have to give up something to get something. But, Basayo just turned 20, and he's moved up. And he can certainly coexist with Rutschman. We don't know if Rutschman's going to be here long term or not. So and he's a special talent behind the plate, the way he's developing as a hitter. So, yeah, you hold on to him. And Mayo, it's just a matter of finding a position for him. They got to make a decision. I thought last off season, and I thought he'd been told this, so, you know, just start working out some in right field. And then it didn't happen in spring training. So I think they decided we got to develop him as a third baseman. Now I think they're thinking again, okay, is it more of a maybe corner infield, play more first base, maybe take a look at him in right field. I wouldn't be surprised if the off season and spring training he is working out in the outfield. They love the bat. He's going to need consistent at bats, but they love him. But you got to figure out where to play him. And right now they just don't seem real comfortable every day at third base, which is why he's back down and why Ramon is primarily a third baseman, even though his defense, the metrics, they don't love him like they did a few years ago. But certainly he's a better defensive third baseman at this point.
You know, this sounds like the scouting report for Ryan Mountcastle prior to 2020.
Right, shortstop, third, yeah. Left,
yeah.
First.
Yeah, they exactly. Love the bat. They just can't find a place for him to bend down. Fast forward to the day, he was a Gold Glove finalist at first. So, you know, you never know.
Yeah, that's a good comp. Yeah, and again, with that bat, you know, as soon as he went back down, he started raking again. He's got nothing left to prove in AAA. It's just, you know, at what point do you settle on a position? But also, you know, if they weren't contending where every single game was, you know, so urgent, you can maybe afford to go ahead and just let him play and get his at-bats and, you know, continue his development at the major league level. But it seems like every loss is, you know, I always tell people, it's not the Ravens. You know, one loss is going to kill your season, but it starts to feel that way when you're getting into September and you got, you know, going neck and neck with the Yankees and everything else. So, you know, you just, at this point, really can't afford to do that.
There he is, Rock Abaco, School of Rock. You can catch him at massinsports.com. Rock, thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right. 410-583-1057 is the number. Daily line at 9:30. Con to tell you where to put your coins. Barbershop topic of the day at 8:45. But on the other side, more Con.
Man, this snuck up on me real quick. we're going to talk about a New York anesthesiologist that has a chloroform fetish, convicted of drugging and sexually assaulting the kid's nanny. This is a sick story. Speaking of sick stories, we got a bunch of them today. We're going to also talk about this guy. This is kind of a, I don't want to say it's a funny story, because it's a guy decapitated his parents' head and the family dog.
Oh, that's hilarious.
No, but then the cops shot him and he started singing a song after they shot him, which is just one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. I'm going to play the song for you.
Who shot you? Here.
No, it's not that one. And I want to bring up Anthony Edwards making some comments about former players, and Magic Johnson, who never says anything, chirped back. And I was so happy to see it. We'll talk about that next in the World of Stupid.
The Big Bad Morning Show presents Jeremy Kahn in a World of Stupid. Bruh. 1057 The Bam.
All right, let's start off with this Magic Johnson story, which I'm happy because, to me, Magic Johnson's a guy that never says anything of substance, meaning it's always matter of fact. And this isn't me trashing him. It's just kind of how he's been. You know, it's
sounds like you're trashing him a little bit.
No. Like, if you ask him a question, you're going to get a very kind of generic answer, not something that's candid.
You don't want to be the center of any controversy.
No. You ask him something, that guy's incredible. That guy's unbelievable. The Lakers today won a big basketball game that put them in the playoffs. Now they play the Golden State Warriors. Man, am I excited. Thanks, Magic. But I love the fact when we're talking ball and somebody questions his ability, what's he going to do? Oh, yeah, he's going to get spiteful. So this is...
spiteful.
Oh, man, it was great because...
What are you, 80?
Anthony Edwards made a comment about basically Michael Jordan's the only guy from that era that he respects. Mm-hmm. So Magic Johnson had something to say.
I don't never respond to a guy that's never won a championship. Oh! There's not nothing to really say. He didn't win a college championship. I don't know if he even won a high school championship.
And I guess he didn't respond to Charles Barkley.
Yeah. he said, going back to what Anthony Edwards said, I didn't watch it back in the day, so I can't speak on it. So that's what he started with, but everybody wants to take the other part of it. They say it was tougher back then than it is now, but I don't think anybody had skill back then. Michael Jordan was the only one that really had skill. You know what I mean? So he basically says, hey, I didn't watch it, but then goes ahead and trashes the guys. But I love the fact. How do you feel about it? Because I feel the older players don't get the recognition that they deserve.
Sometimes you need to be put across the knee.
Yeah.
You got put across the knee.
And Magic just didn't win one. He didn't just win two. Like, and go look at the MVPs that go along with it. So before you're going to call out that cat, you better do something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, as much grief as I give Magic Johnson for a terrible talk show and just everything else that he's done, I love that he's spoken up about this because he was one of the greatest basketball players to ever play the game, period. See, you put a T on it at the same time. Damn it. All right, let's get to this next story because some of these are, look, I know these are a little darker, speaking of the where we're going with these stories, but this is an interesting one. Talking about the people you trust, New York anesthesiologist with a chloroform fetish convicted of drugging and sexually assaulting the kid's nanny. While his wife was asleep in his home, he did this. Paul Giacopelli, 60, pleaded guilty Wednesday before the Putnam County Judge Anthony Mole, after being indicted by a grand jury in March. Giacopelli attorney Stephen Gatman said his client assumed responsibility for his crimes is now focused on tending to his family. No, focus on your ass going to jail, you creepy sumbitch. Drugging people, like, go at chloroforming people so you can have sex with them?
Yeah.
What are we getting to nowadays? You're that lonely? You got a wife. She's asleep upstairs. Wake her up, jackass. I mean, this is just so creepy. And there are certain people you're supposed to... You're a nanny for a family. You're supposed to be able to trust those people behind closed doors.
Yeah.
You know,
Jeremy, that's the problem, though. She's asleep, and he doesn't want to wake her up.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's the one that knocked her out. Ooh, I'm into not waking you up. I mean, it is, like, super creepy. And this whole story, it said the woman set up a hidden camera to record her assailant on December 29th of 2023 after sensing a rag over her face and blacking out. She awoke and viewed the contents of the camera, and that's when she found out she was sexually assaulted. Good on her for figuring out, but nobody should have to go through this. Like, we hear about, and I'm not trying to scare anybody out there, doctors, dentists. Hell, I've had stuff happen in my family, which I'm not even going to go on air and talk about, but, like, it's crazy when you see the people that take it. You're supposed to be able to trust certain people in your life. And if you're the babysitter for this family, I don't think you're expecting that all of a sudden you're going to get chloroformed and wake up feeling weird and sexually assaulted. It's just creepy, man. Let's get to this next story. I told you, this one's dark. Man decapitated his parents. Wild footage shows a California man accused of decapitating his parents and their dog being shot multiple times by cops. He got shot in the stomach and in the hip. And I was telling Rob, as they're arresting the guy, they put the handcuffs on him first because he's clearly out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly. So you don't know if it's drugs, mental illness, whatever it is. You can see he's out of his mind. So I was going to play the sound from the video, but it's just, it's not great. In a second, I'm going to play you the song of what he was singing afterwards. But I was telling Rob, I said, it's got to be weird being a police officer. You've got somebody on your hands that you are going to shoot. They didn't shoot to kill, which was kind of interesting. They shot him in the stomach and the hip. They handcuff him and then immediately try to get a medical assistance. And I know that's what you're required to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I was telling Rob, I can understand if you ain't call somebody right away, especially with a situation like that.
You mean when you say, what's the number to 911?
Yeah.
And you start asking around.
You got the final digit. So the guy was shot. He's still alive. And then he starts basically singing this song to the cops.
No, he didn't. He was high on his mind.
That line, he goes, what's love but a secondhand emotion? He started singing this song after getting shot and laying on the ground.
He was high on his mind, man. What was he thinking?
I mean, look, it may have just been mental illness that the guy just went, you know, bat crap crazy. They had just found the headless bodies of his parents, 77-year-old Ronald Girdville, 79-year-old Antoinette Girdville, along with, their mutilated dog in their mobile home. One of the heads was displayed on the counter. This sounds like a story for Ed, because then all of a sudden he's going, oh, I remember when this happened back in New York. Girdville was spotted a short time later after allegedly attacking a maintenance worker. When police approached him, he was covered in blood, babbling incoherently, and threw a heavy shovel at them. When a deputy ordered him to stand down, Girdville charged, and the officer shot 5 shots at him from about 10 feet away and dropped him. So 2 of those shots hitting him in the stomach and the hip, as we talked about. When he was on the ground, he kept saying, "I love you. I'm sorry. You're going to have to die." Told the cops to just finish him off. Put one in my head, please. I beg of you. And then he went, "What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. What's love but a secondhand emotion?" So, yeah, just big Tina Turner fan. That's your World of Stupid, Rob.
Thank you very much. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Barbershop topic of the day at 845. But on the other side, we'll take a look at Jeff Zrebeck's projected 53-man roster right here on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your God bless you.
God bless her.
Is the equivalent to my buddy Robert Stokes.
Uh-huh.
His wife says, bless your heart.
Yeah.
That's basically a F you. It is. That's a very Southern Belle way of saying it. Mm. Bless your heart. Jeff Zrebeck in The Athletic put out his projected 53-man roster, okay? Quarterback. He has Devin Leary and Emory Jones out. The hardest cut of that was Leary. Running backs, he has Chris Collier and John Kelly out. He has Owen Wright, IR. That was cool. It was real good how they did that. Wide receivers, he has Malik Cunningham, the converted quarterback. Russell Gage, Keith Kirkwood, Anthony Miller, Sean Ryan, Dayton Wade, and Isaiah Washington out. The hardest of that cut being Anthony Miller. Tight ends. He has Kadir, right?
Yeah.
Kadir Ishmael, Mike Riggerman, and Raleigh Sharp out. The hardest of those cuts, Ishmael. Let's go back to the beginning. Your thoughts on the quarterback stuff.
Yeah, I mean, again, put whoever else you want back there. I understand what the situation is, but Lamar's your guy, and then whoever else filters in. I mean, look, the story with Johnson playing for every team twice in his entire career is pretty funny, but... yeah, if anything happens to Lamar, you know what this season becomes quickly, rather quickly. So that doesn't bother me. The Ishmael stuff's interesting. So they have him at tight end. He was a wide receiver in college, if I'm correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like some talent there. And I'm sure, Kadri was proud watching his son out there. I saw one of the posts he had on him. It makes it interesting. Does he list who he thinks going on the practice squad as well?
I don't know
if he did that because there's going to be some interesting names they're going to have to choose from to put on the practice squad.
No, I don't see anything practice squad listed.
I mean, look, that's kind of a tough thing to kind of figure out. And, I bet this guy, unless you've talked to somebody that's just said, hey, our plan is to put him on the practice
squad. Ishmael, a big dude, though, man. Yeah. I mean, I could see why they put him at tight end. What is he, 6'4", 220?
Yeah.
That's a big guy. I mean, big 250. They have him listed as 215.
What's Isaiah Likely size? Here, I'm looking that up real quick. His measurements. They got him listed as 6'4", 247, or at least that's what it was. So, yeah, I mean, kind of that tweener, right? Like, size-wise, he's a big guy. Can he block, or is it a pass-catching tight end? Is he more of a kind of a hybrid? You know, we've had some guys that were H-backs that would catch the ball out of the backfield and all the other stuff that goes along with it, sometimes run the ball.
Anything surprising with the running back situation? Henry, Hill, Ali, and of course, Keaton Mitchell's on the pup list.
No, I think that's kind of what we all thought was going to happen, Justice Hill being the backup. The thing I want to know is how much they plan to use Derrick Henry, and I don't think week one is going to be an indication necessarily of what they do the entire season, because I think they might come out week one and showcase Derrick Henry, but I'm not sure he's a guy that's going to get 20 to 25 carries every week. I don't know that he's in. Maybe you do that when you get towards the end of the season to get him ramped up.
See, Jeremy, you weren't here when we had this conversation. I had people jumping on me with both feet because I said he'll get about 15, maybe 20 carries a game. Mm-hmm. And the math actually added out to be the same amount of carries. I didn't even realize it, but it added out to be the same amount of carries he had all of last year.
Yeah.
Ed disagreed with me, caller, but basically called me an idiot for thinking that. You're not going to run him to the ground early on in the season. You're not. He may get a lot of carries in week one just because the Ravens lost the season. The season ended on not giving a running back the ball. He may get a lot of carries. You know how Harbaugh is, petty like that. But after that, Jeremy, I think he'll get 12 to 15 carries a game until you start backloading the season. Then you'll start, when it gets cold outside, he'll pick up 15 to 20.
I don't think you're wrong at all, so we both must be idiots then, because that was my expectation the whole time. You signed him to a two-year deal. I don't think you bring him in. Like, look, he hit the 30-year mark. It doesn't mean that's a death sentence for running backs, but look, I think Joe Mixon's going to be an absolute bust this year in Houston, and I think there's a reason why Cincinnati said, please get out of here. So you do see guys that are going to hit that wall at 30.
Yeah.
But if you sign him to a two-year deal, why would you run him into the ground this year knowing that you want to bring him back next year for an opportunity? And oh, by the way, Justice Hill's been here for a while. Lamar's going to run some. You're obviously going to throw a little bit more now with the weapons you have on offense. So we shall see, but I agree with you. And again, I don't want people to get up in arms and start calling us after the Thursday game if he gets 25 carries, because I would not be shocked to beat the Chiefs and go out there and showcase your guy that you do that in week one.
They do that. I said I don't see him getting 20 or more carries in more than five games during the season.
Sometimes again, the play is going to dictate,
again,
right?
It was outrageous. You know how many times he had 20 carries last year?
Three? Four?
Four times. Yep. And this was, listen, I came to this conclusion, Jeremy, before looking what he did last year. And I'm like, wait a minute. I know he led the league in carries, but it was a low amount, a low number. It was no longer 300.
Yeah.
I just don't think you don't run him into the ground like that, man. You can't have him 10, 11 games, 20 or more carries. You can't do it.
I agree. And it just makes, look, it makes total sense to go about it this way. I'm sorry. Like, if you're going to sit here and looking at it, it's a 17-game schedule. And again, sometimes flow of the game is going to dictate what happens. I'm not telling you he's never, like we just talked about, you said four times. I'm not telling you he's never going to hit 25 carries in a game. But if you're back and forth and it gets that route and he's getting these goal line touches, it wouldn't shock me. But I don't think that's what they want to do in every single game.
Yeah, 25 carries once last year. You know what? That was week two.
Yeah.
Had 25 carries for 80 yards.
Do you have the score of that game?
They won 27-24, but that was overtime.
I'm just saying, like, it's a close game, and I think the score dictated.
And overtime.
Yeah.
You know?
I think people envision him just being a guy that's going to come in and get 30 carries every game, and that's not it.
That's not, not only is that,
I don't think anybody's doing that.
I was about to say, that's not today's NFL. You just don't do that anymore.
Yeah, and every team you're looking at, even when you have a bell cow back, they still have the hybrid back right behind him for third downs, spelling the guy, giving them opportunities. Like, look at every single team we talk about. If you want to go the Saints, the Packers, the Vikings, even the Lions, the Bears now, they all have multiple running backs they're going to use, but one that's going to probably get 60% of the carries.
In all fairness, I talked about the 20 carry games he had. He had one game, he had two games of 19 carries and a game of 18 carries. But the point is, you're not going to run him. No one does that. I think if he was, you know, a little bit younger, man, I don't see him having a ton of carries.
Yeah.
Ravens don't do things like that.
I don't see it either, man. But, you know, like, that's what, and again, the whole thing with Derrick Henry, and I joke about it all the time, and I'm sure fans will pick up on it. If you talk to any Titans fans, December is Dehember.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to put Derrick Henry, and he's going to run roughshod over all these teams as asses down.
I'm cool with that.
He just got to stay healthy until that point.
I am 100% cool with that.
Yep.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Going to look at the weekend it was for the Baltimore Orioles at 9:15, but on the other side, compared to how you felt at the start of camp, are you feeling better, worse, or the same about the Ravens' prospects for 2024? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. The regular season is almost upon us, Jeremy Kahn. Thank football gods for that. So as we go into the regular season, Jay.
Yeah.
Are you feel better, worse, or about the same as you did at the start of camp?
Kind of the same. I mean, I felt like this was a 10-11 win team. Maybe they'll surprise me and do a little bit better. Only reason with that being is I think everybody in the division got better. You know, Cincinnati gets Joe Burrow back. That's obviously going to help them. Pittsburgh's got two quarterbacks they can choose from. Plus, they had a good draft. And I've said this many times. I think Cleveland has the best roster in football, except for the most important position in quarterback, because that cat, Deshaun Watson, was the worst quarterback at throwing the football last year in his limited opportunity.
Nick Chubb started the season on PUP.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back over your situation. The Ravens and the Ravens have a stable quarterback. The Bengals have an often injured quarterback. You say, well, Lamar Jackson is often injured. Yeah, but you got a quarterback that's been here half of his career.
I don't know what it is. Look, we all love Joe Burrow, the player, right?
Right.
You know, he's a phenomenal player. But I keep going back to this. Four seasons. He's older than Lamar. Two of those seasons he missed.
Yeah.
And in one season, he went to the Super Bowl. But because he went to the Super Bowl, everybody's like, yep, that's, you know, I don't question him getting hurt because he went to the Super Bowl. Like,
so, but you got, I would say two stable quarterbacks. You said Pittsburgh has two quarterbacks that they can choose from. No, Pittsburgh has two quarterbacks that they're stuck with. And so do the Cleveland Browns. They have one quarterback that they're stuck with. You think they wouldn't get rid of Deshaun Watson if they could right now?
Oh, God.
What Deshaun Watson is going to be, I don't know. He may end up being the Deshaun Watson that got signed. That hefty contract. But the only person, the only teams with any stability at quarterback, Ravens and the Bengals in this division.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel better about the situation than the Ravens? I felt the Ravens going into the regular season would be first four games, you could go 2-2, you go 1-3. But I think by season's end, this team will be in the playoffs and a legitimate player. So I feel the same way now that I felt then, that they're going to start off a little slow. 2-2 may be the best thing they can do. Maybe not. But 2-2, I'm projected to be 2-2. Crazy thing happens, they're 1-3. But I'm okay, because I think they're going to get it together and rally at the end of the season and get into the postseason.
They're going to be fine. I mean, everybody keeps looking at all these teams that and saying, hey, this team's good, this team's good, this is a tough schedule. I get it. This is still the team last year that, analytically speaking, was probably the best team we've seen in the past 30 years overall, and it didn't win the Super Bowl. It's insane to think about that, but from a numerical standpoint, that's exactly what they were from an offensive and defensive standpoint. So, yeah, they lost some players. They lost a coach, which I think is really important, and Mike McDonald. We'll see what Zach Orr can do. They also had a draft where they're bringing in, I think this young cornerback is going to be really good, Wiggins. I think Wiggins is going to be really, really good, and I think they got a special one. I know you don't want to admit that because of where he went to school. So the problem is that I see with it, Rob, and I think you would admit this too, even with the Steelers getting Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. I don't like Wilson. I'm intrigued by Fields. I don't know how to feel about him. But it's got to be better than what they had last year, right?
Absolutely. 100%.
That's why I said they improved, even if you don't like those quarterbacks.
I think you look at the season, the start of the season, I think they're going to struggle with Kansas City and Dallas. The two road games. I think they could beat LA and Buffalo. I mean, Las Vegas and Buffalo. Now, the one game out of those two that I think they have a chance of losing is the Buffalo game. But I think at home they win.
I'm not worried about Buffalo. I wonder what happens with them this year.
That's what I'm saying. I think they win that game, especially since it's at home.
So
I think if any of those games, think about it, man. I mean, Buffalo, Dallas, KC, three legitimate perennial playoff contenders.
But everybody keeps talking about these teams in the AFC and specifically like Buffalo, Miami, Cincinnati. There's another one I'm missing that I just had in there. Like, I question their defense.
I question Cincy.
I don't know how good their defenses are going to be. Oh, the other one was the Philadelphia Eagles, but they're in the NFC. Like, I wonder what that defense is going to look like. These teams they lost some key pieces, and I don't know that they replaced them. I don't know what, like, Cincinnati getting Geno Stone, that ain't putting your defense over the top, because your defense was horrendous last year.
Unless they got Mike McDonald with him.
Mm-mm.
Same thing with Pittsburgh. Unless they got Mike McDonald with Patrick Queen.
But
and Roquan Smith, too.
I do think Pittsburgh revamped their offense, which does make them scary in the running game, because they've been a team in my opinion, hadn't run the football that well.
They were still stuck in the Ben Roethlisberger personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Now they kind of turned over that roster a little bit. Now they can get back to smash mouth and running the football.
Yeah.
Because they have to. And I don't think that's built for championships, to be honest with you. Not the National Football League. Want to hear from you. 410-583-1057 is the number. Compared to how you felt at the start of camp, are you feeling better, worse, or the same about the Ravens' prospects for 2024? And I think what you started off by talking about the division, Jeremy, because you can't fall into the trap of only looking at what the Ravens do and saying that's – you decide how you feel that way.
Yeah.
You have to look at other teams. You have to – there has to be a comparison. For me to feel worse, I got to think that somebody else out there in the division, namely, is a threat, more of a threat than I originally thought. I think the Bengals are a legitimate threat. Pittsburgh's always a legitimate threat. And Cleveland, I think, is going to be better than people think.
So – yeah, and the way I would look at it, I don't think the Ravens got worse. I'm not sure that they necessarily got better if you factor in what they lost and then bringing in Derrick Henry. There's a good chance they did get better, and maybe I'm just misevaluating this, but I do think all the other teams in this division got better. And when you look at it, that's who you're competing with to try to get that home playoff game and then hopefully that bye if you're able to dominate your division. But the Ravens, look at the AFC. There are a lot of people that like the three teams in the AFC East, but you got the Patriots there, and they're going to suck. Kansas City's going to dominate their division, and I think the South is intriguing with three teams and the Tennessee Titans that I don't think anybody's buying into. So you have a division where all four teams expect to make it into the playoffs. You can't tell me otherwise. Like, all four of those teams think they're going to be in the playoffs.
And all four teams have a legitimate reason to think they're going to be in the playoffs.
Yep.
I think three get in.
I do too. When you look at the grand scheme, I think three get in, and you're going to look at the AFC South with two probably getting in.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Want to hear from you. Compared to how you felt at the start of camp, do you feel better, worse, or about the same about the prospects of the 2024 season for the Baltimore Ravens? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.